We go into something that blows our minds a little bit, get upset about it, and then we come back up.
Look, we're on a small, like Little Rascal style go-kart. Mm-hmm. We've strapped that big rocket onto it like they do at the end of the movie. And we don't know which way it's going to go. But I'll tell you what, we're going to cross the finish line at the end, okay? Mm-hmm. Happy Doomsday. I'm Andrew.
And I'm Lauren.
And we're two friends struggling to live in dystopian America.
What is this podcast? What are we doing?
Oh my gosh. Well, Lauren and I worked together years ago, and we hit it off, I think, immediately as friends. And pretty quickly, a dynamic we had is that Lauren would come into my office.
He had a really nice couch, guys. He says office, but it was more like a lounge.
Yeah. It was a good place. It was good low lights, music, good place to hang.
Vibes.
A lot of people would socialize in my bay, but they didn't have the same conversations Lauren and I were having.
Which
always started off friendly, maybe about pop culture and things, and then would almost inevitably end in existential dread. It would always go as deep and bleak as a workplace conversation could go.
Yeah.
And then we started colloquially calling that dark chat.
Dark chat TM.
Yeah.
Don't steal it.
Don't steal it. We haven't registered it yet. But we invented it.
But yeah, that's the long and short of it. We worked together. He had a cool editing bay with dope vibes, cool lighting. I would go in there with, I'm sure, a work request.
Yeah.
And sometimes maybe not. Sometimes it was just a thing. I'd sit on the couch and we'd just go. And it would hit these peaks and valleys of joy and, again, existential dread. And then we'd come out the other end just saying, well, that was that.
We'd say, nice dark chat. That was actually, we would rate it. We'd say,
Yeah.
That was good. That
5 out of 10 dark chat.
Yeah. Pretty good dark. It could have been darker sometimes.
Could have been darker. But that's what started this whole thing. And then you reached out to me to say, hey, things are getting super shitty in America.
I don't know if the audience has noticed this, but this is a phenomenon. The world is a steaming pile of shit right now. That's really chaotic and scary. Mm-hmm. And we share a common, I think, way of processing, which is sort of like, it's scarier to not talk about these things. But there's also a little bit of a healthy level of dissociation when talking about these things.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
just kind of like throw up your hands and be like, everything is insane. And just dive into the dumpster head first.
Yeah. I think that's what I appreciate about our friendship, actually. It's like, we're both equally incapable of handling this.
Yeah.
So it's like, you don't judge me if like I'm not going to do a thing. Like, I'm not going to protest against something or I'm not going to get rid of something.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't judge you if, like, I don't know, what are we supposed to do? Let's just do what we can. We just have this very healthy balance of we're just figuring it out.
Yeah. And I think a lot more people need to get on board with that wavelength, because I think that's the only way to get through.
Yeah. Like, there's the virtue signaling and all the things that people do. And I feel like with you, Renfro, I have a safe space to be useless and just complain about it.
Yeah. Are we productive? Debatable.
Sometimes.
Don't say we're not ever. Sometimes.
Yeah. Sometimes. Yeah.
But mostly, it's just about
Getting it out.
Educating ourselves and then getting it out.
Yeah. And educating ourselves to the highest level of the topic, maybe not.
No.
A couple of dum-dums.
Takes too long.
But we try.
We try.
Yeah. Mostly it's ingesting a thing that's absolutely insane and talking about it.
Yeah.
And so the podcast was born. Renfro reached out to me. When did you reach out? It wasn't that long ago.
No, I think it might have been either beginning of December, end of November.
This was post-2024 election.
Yeah.
When the vibes were exceptionally dark.
Like, you're speaking past tense, I think by the time we release this, it's going to be even worse.
Yeah. Who knows where we're going to be? But the vibes were exceptionally low after the election. And it wasn't long after that that you were like, hey, the only real way to do anything is to make other people listen to us trying to do stuff.
Yeah.
What was it I said?
You said, literally said,
if the world's going to burn, people might as well hear our takes first.
Yeah.
You know.
People might as well hear our takes. And I, for one, fully agree. That's why I'm here. And I'm happy that we're friends.
Me too. It's been a great, kind of a long friendship now, if you add up all the years.
I don't even know how long. We won't let the people get into all of that. But literally, on the day of the election, Renfro, I think he sent a voice note to me that said, Happy Doomsday. And it turned out to be Doomsday.
Wasn't that terrible?
Crazy.
You know, I think, at least for me, having a healthy dose of skepticism and pessimism has unfortunately usually led me in the right direction.
Look at that. Professional doomer here, folks. Professional
doomer.
I'm mostly, as I said before, a lamenter. I grieve. Mm-hmm. So you're going to get a nice mix where Renfro brings the doom. Yeah. And I bring the grief.
Boom.
And somewhere along the way, just like we did in that good old editing bay when we worked together, somewhere along the way, there's going to be some laughter. There's going to be some joy. There's going to be some laughing to keep from crying.
Yeah.
But we're just going to figure it out together. And that's what's going to be excited about Happy Doomsday.
Yeah. And us and the audience, we're just going to process one topic at a time, you know?
Yeah. I think that is the whole point of it, is processing. This is a processing podcast. That's the word. We need shirts. We need merch for the listeners already.
Yeah.
Because we just know that you guys are going to want to process with us. That's how confident we are in our ability to capture the listeners.
And we're not capturing the same stuff, I think, that everybody else is. You know, I follow a lot of like political podcasts and things that cover a great many things that freak me out. But every week, they're all releasing topics, the same horrible thing that's happening in the world.
Yeah.
I think we're going to be a nice filler with some niche stuff.
Yeah.
Some weird stuff. Some stuff that's fun to talk about.
I think that's what interests me about our conversations. I think you bring stuff up where I'm like, I didn't even hear about that. I didn't even hear about that. And now we're going to use the podcast to hear about it together and to talk about it and educate each other on the new things that we hear about. Because though we overlap, our Venn diagram is pretty overlapping in a lot of ways. There's some things where we do not cross the same paths of algorithms.
Yeah, which is great. Sometimes just as much you show me things that I would have never come across, but we have the exact same, I think, psychological, I don't know, reaction to everything.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's a nice Venn diagram of experience and knowledge. And
yeah, I called our overlap holy shit, right?
Yeah, yeah.
That's the overlap. Holy shit.
Yeah.
Holy shit is the overlap.
Yeah.
But I think we should give them a tiny little taste because I have something that I'm very itching to talk about. And I know this isn't necessarily kind of our style for this podcast, but I do think that it'll allow us to go on a tiny little roller coaster of darkness with the listener. What the fuck is happening with this TikTok ban?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, real topical. I mean, just hours before recording, it came back.
Yeah.
Did you see that?
Yeah. First of all, it wasn't going down for me as quickly as it was for you. I felt like I was getting like this play-by-play. Everybody's saying goodbye. People are having TikTok funerals. The content, can we just say the content down to the wire was the best content since like 2020 peak COVID, right?
Everybody's reposting all of their best things and it's like a best of.
And it's so good. It's like this time capsule. And I have to say, I don't know if you agree with this, Renfro, but TikTok, in my opinion, is the best social media app to ever exist to date.
Yeah, by a lot. And I don't know if that's going to be a popular opinion with everyone listening.
Yeah.
And I think if it's not your opinion, you may not actually use it because I had a lot of negative things to say about TikTok before I actually used it.
Mm-hmm.
Did you really?
Like, what were you saying?
Yeah, well, I used to buy into a bit more of the stuff about China.
Mm.
There was a talking point that I haven't heard in a long time that the app works differently in China, mm-hmm. that they were trying to like feed us more slop and that over there it was like had a built-in screen limiting feature and it was trying to like push educational content. I don't know if that's even true.
But
there was a lot of things about how it was like a really subtle psyop of sorts. And really, anything bad you want to say about TikTok, you could say about Facebook or Instagram or any of the rest of them. They all want to mine as much of your attention as possible. That is all social media. If Zuckerberg could do it as well as TikTok, he would be.
Yeah.
But it's really done a good job of showing me what I want to see. So maybe that's what it is. Is if you're a person who has productive things you want to see, it's going to reflect that back at you.
Yeah.
A lot of good like film discussion, leftist political dialogue, and just fun stuff too that I really enjoy. Yeah, I use it.
So is that the thing that turned you? Like you were down on TikTok at first? When did you join?
Well, I have a friend who used to always send me stuff via text. You know, she has TikTok, she wants to send me. But then I have to open it. She texts me the URL and then I open it. So I eventually just downloaded it to make it easier
to receive
them from one person. But then slowly I started using it and found a lot of people I really like. And I've gotten a lot of really good music recommendations and travel recommendations. I've added a lot of stuff to my travel map.
Can I ask who this person was? Are you okay naming them? Because they sound like a hero, to be honest.
Yeah, sure. It's my friend Jill, who
shout out to Jill.
Maybe met at some point.
Shout out to Jill. What a hero. What an icon.
Jill got me into TikTok and texting just as much of her with her at the downfall yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we were talking about having a TikTok memorial night if it didn't come back. We dress in black and make montages of all the most weird stuff we had favorited over the years.
I love that idea. I wish I was there for that.
Probably should still do it, even though it was only gone for like 14 hours.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's a good segue. I'm probably not coming back, even though it's back after 12 hours. Okay, let me gather myself. As I've said, TikTok is the greatest social media app to exist to date, in my opinion. The reason I got on it was just because I was interested. I was like, what's going on? People are dancing. I'm into that. I may or may not participate in the dancing because I love to dance. But I just kind of went over there and I was like, this is fun. The kids are fun. The kids are fun. And then it turned into an app where I learned so much. I'm exposed to so much. I got most of my news there, just like Twitter in its heyday. I got so much of my news there, right? But it was more about, I felt like I was in the sea of windows, right? And I could look into all these different windows to see what was going on.
Yeah.
Around the world, right? Places I'll never go. And just take a peek. And I think that was cool in a way that no other app has been able to do that, right? Like the closest was Twitter, and it's in an entirely different way. But I think because of the TikTok ban and my billionaire fatigue or elite fatigue, I don't think I'm going to go back. I think this ban was absolute bullshit, right?
Yeah, it seems to be a very craven and transparent like PR stunt.
Yeah.
Right?
I think, so the whole, I think the turning point for me, because Renfro and I were texting back and forth, folks, throughout this entire ban conversation that's been in the works for years and years and years, which by the way, never forget that Donald Trump is the person who kicked off the conversation around a ban.
Yeah.
But it's been years and years in the making, but it became very real in the last couple of months and then down to the wire this past weekend. So before we're releasing this episode, this has all been happening. And down to the wire, ByteDance, the folks who own TikTok, for the most part, they have the largest share of TikTok and are responsible for the algorithm, I believe. I don't know. Gonna have to fact check it. They own something and they're not willing to sell it, which I don't blame them. I don't blame them. Like if you have a thing that's
it's like giving over the ingredients to Coca-Cola. You can't.
Secret recipe. So this whole time they're like, we're not going to sell. If the government wants to shut us down, we're going to close shut down our servers, yada, yada. So in a rush, everybody's scrambling to get their data off and like say goodbye to everybody. They go dark for maybe 12 hours. on Saturday, January 18th, right? The evening. I didn't even know it was back until you texted me this morning to say, TikTok's back.
You know what's crazy too? You know how I found out it was back? Complete mindless compulsion. Has this happened to you in that 12 hours? You just click it like you're not even thinking about it?
Yeah.
I had to have done that upsetting number of times in that short period of time. And I clicked it and I was like, oh, it's banned. Haha. And then I saw it loading and went, what the hell?
Yeah.
It's working. I just found it out naturally. And then I looked it up and I was like, it just within the last 10 minutes.
Like people from around the world were saying, what are we going to do without the Americans on the app? And it like, while that feels very wonderful and like, it just feeds into the American ego that everybody loves us.
They shouldn't say that to us.
They shouldn't say that to us. But everybody's saying goodbye. And the CEO of TikTok in the final hours comes out and says, oh, thank you to President Trump for wanting to help us to stay online. And something didn't sit right with me about that.
Oh, it makes no sense. It makes no sense. What is the scenario that it got banned for 12 hours and then nothing happened and it came back? Nothing happened.
The only thing, and this is just my thought, the only thing that I can think of is somehow, and I don't know how this connects, but my brain is trying to connect the release of hostages in Israel to this TikTok ban.
Somehow I'm trying
to connect these two, because the conversations around how instrumental Trump has been in the release of the hostages with Netanyahu and all the people over there and needing to get the word out that it has officially happened, which Biden got on in a press conference today to say that it's officially happened. They've started releasing hostages. Somehow he needed it to get out to the 170 million users that this thing has happened. So I don't, this may be a very loose connection. Once again, listener, when we have these dark chats, we have fact checked nothing.
We are not scientists.
We are not scientists. We're just reacting to the things and trying to make the connections. So my brain is like, okay, this thing just happened today and magically TikTok is back. There's gotta be something there.
Yeah.
Tinfoil hat, I know.
But here's what I think, if there's a connection between the two, it's just that they both have a similar PR tactic, which is that the hostage negotiations, I believe the actual resolution itself is almost identical to what was presented 6 months ago, but that was rejected. And now the new has been accepted with Trump's name thrown into the ring for why it's being accepted.
And let's talk about that. It supports his PR that he's just a tough negotiator and he gets it done. He's no nonsense. He gets it and says, this is going to be the thing or else, right? We'll never know what happens in those rooms, but it's more likely that along the way, they're all in cahoots somehow and they're just like, we're going to gift this to him a la Ronald Reagan. For some reason, they want it to be him and not a Democrat. And that is maddening, actually, when I think about that.
Exact same thing with TikTok, where this was like a cheap and easy way to give Trump a win and ingratiate themselves with Trump. That's it.
But to add another branch to this conversation, what is going on with the Democrats that they don't seem to be hip to how this game is working? It's like... This is so obvious to me. And I'm like, I don't understand how Biden went ahead and lobbed it in his direction. He punted the ball and was like, hey, you deal with it. Maybe because they thought it was going to be a hot potato. He did nothing and literally handed him the lowest hanging fruit you could possibly hand a person.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
that's the part I don't understand.
The man can hardly walk up a staircase, much less lob something in the right direction, I think. So I think that's the problem. Well, that's not the problem, but that's one of the problems. I think I think the whole Democratic establishment is happy to just let themselves always be trampled on and then say, hey, look at how bad the other guys are. You got to come help us out.
But that doesn't win.
They don't. Yeah, they don't.
You know what? Okay, I was thinking about this morning. The Democrats are playing for participation trophies, and the Republicans are playing to win.
Yeah, they're playing to change the rules so that they don't even have to play the game.
Yeah. Which to them is winning.
We just want to win fair and square without doing anything crazy.
No, no, no. I don't even think they want to win. I think they're just like, we're just doing good work.
Yeah.
And we're just participating. Mm-hmm. And like I saw, what was the interview that Biden did toward the end? It was like his last interview. And he's like talking about, I didn't think about this. I'm thinking about signing any checks. Like nobody would ever dream of taking that kind of credit from a treasurer. And then Trump went ahead and signed all these checks. He's like, but it worked out for him in the end. And I'm like, I didn't want to believe that he was that dense about it. Like 50 years in politics and you don't understand how the game is played. That's crazy to me.
Yeah. I mean, it's been it's the thing across the Democratic spectrum, but we never advertise our wins. Like ever.
Yeah.
I feel like any win the Republicans get, they got it on billboards practically.
Yeah.
But you never, it's just, there's a huge communication problem, I think.
Potentially insane question. Is the Democratic Party dead? How do we revive it?
I have a potentially insane response, which is I would love to see a more leftist third party come in. And I think, unlike what I think probably most people think, it wouldn't actually be that hard to get momentum behind that. It might be hard from a structural, logistical standpoint that there's this entire apparatus behind the Democratic Party. But I think that's what people want. I think if you had a really strong leftist candidate, could have potentially beat Trump. I think people didn't come out because Democrats are status quo. And being like, hey, we're not fascists, this isn't enough to motivate people.
Yeah. Apparently people love fascism.
Other people love fascism.
They love it. They like get off on it, apparently.
Yeah, they're licking boots and they're having a fun time doing it.
Yeah. And I think that's what's, to bring it back to TikTok, I think that's what's bothering me about the response from the CEO of TikTok, because he not only thanked, and you can say, oh, he's playing the game, he's saying what he needs to say to get on the president's side, but like he's giving thanks repeatedly, and he's also reposting people who are exceptionally problematic.
Yeah, you said he reposted the Charlie Kirk video in Greenland?
Yeah,
that's
he did.
Insane.
Can you tell the people who Charlie Kirk is? Because I saw a bunch of comments that were like, I don't understand what you guys are saying. I don't know why this guy's a problem.
Charlie Kirk.
Other than the fact that he's wearing a MAGA hat.
Charlie Kirk's a Nazi white supremacist piece of shit. He's
there you go.
Ben
Shapiro.
You
heard it here first.
He is a right-wing talk show host of sorts, but extremely disgusting dirtbag. And the video in particular that Shao reposted was him and Don Jr. in Greenland talking to Greenlanders about how they feel about America, which it's like bad on three or four different levels. Mm-hmm. One, as a representative of TikTok, you're sharing a video that even in its own trappings is giving credence to the idea of America taking Greenland. That's bananas.
No
matter who's in the video, it's insane that you shared something where that's the context. Two, you've got Trump's cokehead son, Don Jr., in it. But then three, you've got an actual white supremacist. Mm-hmm. Charlie Kirk would not describe himself as white supremacist. He is a white supremacist, for the record.
Yeah. When I saw that and I texted you immediately upon seeing it, that made me want to just not be on the platform anymore. It's like, for me, the ban made sure, or even though it was only for a couple of hours, like the app will never be the same again. And how I view the CEO of the app, and let's be clear, I don't view CEOs of multi-billion dollar companies as benevolent beings. I'm not an idiot, okay? But I think for someone who's been largely non-political and just open to people just posting whatever they wanted, I think it's a very clear message where Sho has decided to place his allegiance, even if it is a person playing the game. I think I've decided I'm not really interested in watching them play these games anymore. Yeah. I'm not interested in billionaires flip-flopping every 2 seconds just to save their own billions of dollars that they will never spend in their entire lifetime. I think that's where I am. I think that's where I am. I'll miss it. Don't get me wrong. Like, TikTok was great. We had a blast.
High times were high.
Times were high. Jeez. But I just, it doesn't sit right with me, Renfro. Like, it just doesn't.
I'm curious to see what the discussion is going to be about that. Because this has just happened as we're recording that it's come back. And
within the last 30-something hours. I think
by a landslide, TikTok is the biggest place that influential leftist politics is happening. So
yes.
Easily.
And more I do think we're going to get an influx because this saving, Trump being the savior of TikTok to some degree at this point, folks who didn't even care about TikTok are now going to be like, oh, he wants it to stick around. So we're going to go there. So there's going to be a huge influx of MAGA supporters joining the app, and the app is going to change. The app,
oh, I didn't think about it that way.
The app as it was January 18th, 2025, before it was shut down, is no longer the app.
Yeah.
We will never see that version of the app again. It was a moment in time. It was real. The vibes were high. We'll never have that again. And I don't think I'm really interested in watching the evolution of it.
I think you're right.
I think when the CEO reposts something like that and every single person's screen when it did shut down says, thank you to President Trump for work, or we'll be working with President Trump. I forgot what it even said, right? But it didn't start out saying that. It started out very generic, like, sorry, it's not available in the United States. And then it changed because I think you sent me a screenshot of someone else's screen that's very specifically shouted out President Trump versus the first few screens that I got from the East Coast that didn't say that.
Yeah, all of mine said Trump. I didn't.
Yeah. The first screens that I got were from my family, and they were like, oh, it's down. And it did not say President Trump yet.
Wow.
And it's almost like as it moved to the West Coast, they like updated it to say President Trump. It's just like the signing of the checks, right? Like,
yeah.
I think that to me was a signal that the app as it was before you got that screen is no longer the app you're going to have on the other side of that screen. It's like this one TikToker who I don't know that she has a following, but I saw this one TikTok before everything died. She said the app will come back. And you know, I've been saying this whole time, I was like, I don't think the app is going anywhere.
Yeah.
But she said the app will come back, but it will be a changeling. And I believe the same.
Mm. Mm-hmm. Good choice of word.
Yeah. It'll be a changeling.
Yeah, I think even with it only being gone 13, 14 hours or something, there's going to be a very clear pre and post ban vibe. And I think you're right. I think it's going to be a different app. It's going to have different intentions. It's going to have a different motivation. It's going to be I would not expect if I start seeing more right-wing stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Even though I'm not reacting or looking for it, you know, naturally my algorithm doesn't. Every now and then it gives me, it tries, it goes, hey, how about this piece of shit? And
yeah, I think enough people will, I don't think people have yet learned that like ignoring things is the way.
Yeah, you have to keep, you swipe past or it'll think you like it.
I'm not interested. Keep them in their own little echo chamber. But people will react. They will react. And so unfortunately, there's going to be some stitches or something that come up on the timelines that people have where they don't want to see it, but they will.
Can I say for the audience, I think the way to combat these things on social media, well, one, you could stop using them altogether, but also just don't engage. Don't argue with people. Don't engage. Don't engage at all, because especially on things like X now, there's actual commodification of reactions. that there's these trolls, and the more that you react, that directly ties to the amount of money they're making. Mm-hmm. So as if there wasn't already bad faith conversation happening for clout, now there's bad faith conversation that's really beneficial in a direct, just fused dollars sense. So just do not engage. Don't engage. Ignore
don't
it.
Don't engage.
Don't even look at it, because these apps are tracking how long your screen is on a given tweet or on a given video. Even if you're not clicking and commenting, just literally don't engage.
Don't engage. And apparently, join Red Note. Or shout, or Xiaohongshu. Xiaohongshu.
So I haven't asked you yet, what is it like over there?
I love it.
Yeah?
Yeah. So, like, I think, again, it's another window. It's not as many windows because it's very homogenous, right? It's a Chinese app, mostly Chinese people, and honestly, mostly Chinese women from what I can see. I don't see as many men posting on Xiaohongshu. Which I keep saying that because it's...
You said it really well.
I feel like I did, but maybe I didn't. I don't know. I've been learning Mandarin. So I love it over there. I think it's like a window into someone else's culture. I definitely don't think it's one of those places that's a replacement for TikTok. Mm-hmm. But I do think it's hilarious that it's a giant middle finger to everything that the Supreme Court has been pushing against. But I don't think it's a replacement for TikTok. It's not the same kind of vibe. It's not even the same kind of freedom of posting. So
yeah, it's got actual censorship.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, it's tough because you have to translate a lot of things. You're in someone else's home. I think one creator over there who is Chinese is like, imagine going to bed at night and waking up and there's just like someone in your living room.
Is that like, what we're doing?
That's how it feels. I think... The thing about it, and I'm probably going to leave the app because I keep seeing posts about how our presence, like the thousands of us that just flocked over there overnight, is causing potential changes to how the app functions in terms of separating IPs. So they're looking to separate foreign IPs from the Chinese IPs. Yeah. And I saw a video of a Chinese woman in tears because she's like, that means that me as a foreign Chinese woman, I won't be able to access my culture anymore. And I'm like, this is maybe the most American thing I've ever been a part of.
Yeah.
Where we didn't even think twice about what that would do. Mm-hmm. And didn't even think twice. And the thing is, I don't consider myself someone who doesn't know anything about Chinese culture or Chinese history. So I'm even shocked at myself that I didn't even think twice about like how the government might react or what new stipulations might be in place because of our influx, right?
Yeah.
There's been some wildly beautiful things that have come of it. I think for a lot of people, it opened their eyes. For some reason, a lot of these people are like, oh my God, the Chinese have houses? Like, yeah, I don't know what you guys were walking through the world believing, but you sound very stupid.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I've seen some really dumb stuff on TikTok where it's like, they have a lot more freedoms than I thought. And then the things they list off, I'm like, oh my God, what did you think? Very like, ignorant.
It's very ignorant. And I'm like, and they say things like, oh, nobody told us. Like, no, you simply don't read or you simply don't watch anything. Because oh. I don't know where you come up with this idea of this primitive life of like this like imprisoned life that the Chinese are living. Is the country perfect? No. Guess what else isn't? America.
Yeah, it's a very American response to be like, well, it's not America, so it's probably sort of third world, you know?
Yeah, the whole American exceptionalism. I think they don't even realize that in their responses, they have this ingrained American exceptionalism. And I don't think any of us are free of that in some capacity. Mm-hmm. But the most American thing I've ever been a part of is going over to that app like, hey!
Aren't you happy to see me?
TikTok refugee! Like, oh my God, I'm so disappointed in myself.
Yeah, I've heard basically what you're saying, that the intention of the app in the US is that it's a Chinese app. So if you are an immediate immigrant and you still have all your family in China, or that's still your primary culture, it's not really like, it's not an app that's meant to be used here. It's like almost like you're remote viewing the app from over there.
Yeah.
But we're trying to make it an app that's here.
Yeah. I don't think there will be another. As long as America has its claws in an app, there will never be one that's like TikTok.
Yeah, I think.
So even if there was a sell that happened, as long as it is in American hands. And granted, I say that understanding that the company is not technically a Chinese company. It is headquartered in the United States. Like, got it. But the IP of the algorithm, the thing that makes the app special, is Chinese owned, I believe.
Mm. Yeah.
Again, listeners, you're going to have to fact check that. But I'm pretty sure it's something along those lines. So something about it is an American owned, and I think it's the algorithm. And that's the thing that makes it important, because that's the thing that ByteDance is not willing to sell, right? But the second that changes, if it does, I hope ByteDance stands firm. But the second that changes, or the second that they agree that they're going to partition or create some sort of preference for MAGA or Donald Trump, it's going to be ruined. I think it's already slightly ruined because I anticipate an influx of extreme extreme users.
Yeah.
I definitely do. But it was great while it lasted.
It was.
And in true dark chat form, it's time to go back up.
We got to take it back up.
We got to take it back up. What, if you can think of it, was your favorite TikTok era?
Well, it sounds like you were on it longer than I was. If you got on it when people were still dancing.
Yeah. Good times.
That's the original TikTok. I've only been on it a few years. I got on it maybe 3 years ago, because I got it while I was living on the road near the end of the, and I wish I'd gotten it earlier because I could have made some good travel talks. It was near the latter end that I got on TikTok. And my first TikTok I ever posted, which I didn't post very many, was just a silly video I recorded to send to friends. And then I was like, this kind of feels like a TikTok. Yeah. I put it on TikTok, and within one day it had 1,000 views, and it had like 100 likes and no comments. I never got a comment, but I got some favorites. I said, wow. I mean, that's really the value of TikTok, is discovery.
Yeah.
It will actually allow people to see videos, and if they gain momentum, it shares it, which is why it had a culture. And I think if you think of like early YouTube had a culture, the early days of YouTube had a vibe and a culture. Charlie Bit My Finger and all those little ones.
Oh man.
If that happened now and it was on TikTok, it'd still take off. Happened now and is on YouTube, you might as well upload it to Dropbox. No one's going to see that.
No one's going to see it. Nobody's going to know. Who's going to know?
Hell no. Look at that. Working in, you know, if we had done this ahead of time, we should have loaded up all the classic sound bites.
The classic sounds.
For the soundboard.
Nobody's going to know.
What's my favorite TikTok? I don't think I know off the top of my head.
It's okay. That was a tough question because actually I don't know the answer. there were so many good TikTok eras. I do love the dancing era because it was so light. It was like something to do during the pandemic. But I would say one of my favorite takeaways, honestly, is breaking the barrier that I felt like I had of being seen. Like prior to TikTok, I don't think I would have said, I want to do a podcast.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I felt like it had to be so polished and so pristine and so like produced that I don't think I ever would have done it. But TikTok, because it's all of these windows into regular people, like people come onto TikTok, no makeup, fresh out of bed, looking whatever, they're walking down the street, they look like themselves, and it's not perfect. And I think that is my favorite takeaway about TikTok is like, be yourself, do a thing you want to do. If you like to talk, but you don't necessarily want to do it in short form on TikTok, maybe you want to do it in longer form on a podcast. And yeah. It's something that has been sitting in the back of my mind for a while. It was like, hey, let's do this thing and see and just have fun. I think that TikTok was a vehicle of permission for me to be like, just do it.
Yeah.
Just do the thing.
I think that's true.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, I played with trying to make kind of more produced, like, little film history videos. But then I found, like, all the film talks that I liked are just people on the fly getting their thoughts out. And that is, one, it's great to see that people are reacting to things that aren't so produced. It doesn't mm-hmm. need to be produced. But two, it makes such a more immediate ecosystem of dialogue.
Yeah,
it feels
yeah,
like
yeah.
such a faster response, a give and take between creators and people who are in the community commenting. And additionally, on no other platform do I like leave comments. I don't leave YouTube comments. I don't comment on people's tweets. I don't comment on Instagram. On TikTok, I do, and people respond, and it's positive.
You it's can crazy. Go literal comment viral.
Yeah.
Which is a pain in the ass, to be honest.
It is a pain in the ass, because then you get those notifications for months. I have one right now. I looked when I was saving all of my favorites and going through. I looked for my most liked comment. Most liked comment has 100,000 likes. That's a lot. That's crazy.
That's a lot of likes. That's a lot of people being like, same.
Yeah. What's funny is, like, kind of an innocuous comment, but 100,000 people are like, yeah, yeah, yeah. 100,000?
That's crazy. That's crazy. But, and a lot of people will say, like, oh, why do you need that kind of validation or whatever? We're always going to need some form of validation. Like, get over it.
Yeah. Also, I think that we're enough entrenched into a social media era that people don't think about those the same way.
Yeah.
I think 10 years ago, if I had a comment that 100,000 likes, I'd be like, holy fuck. And I'd be telling all my friends. I think you're the first person I told about it because it's just so inconsequential.
Yeah.
You know,
but not just that. It's like my self-worth is not being determined by the 100,000 likes, guys. But
not at
if
all.
If you really think about it, it's crazy that 100,000 people, individual people, were like, yeah.
It is insane when you actually think about it.
It's nuts. Like. And so my self-worth is not wrapped up in it. I think that's different.
It's so easy to comment and like, and for, you know, good ideas to spread. So it's kind of like it's really just a metric that things are working, dialogue's working.
Yeah.
It's not like, oh, look at what a clever comment I made. I'm not really feeling like that.
Most of the time I'm commenting without thought. It's almost like, when you're talking to a person and you're just saying, yeah, crazy that X, Y, and Z, right?
Yeah.
Like you're in the conversation and you move on. And then you move on and then everybody else is like, yeah, I agree with that little offshoot that you made.
Yeah.
It's not that big of a deal. But it's also nuts that many people read the comment and seconded your comment.
Yeah.
Anyway, the comments are where it's at in TikTok.
The comments are where it's at because, you know, it's not a whole bunch of people being like, go kill yourself. It's surprisingly productive and funny and clever.
Yeah. I don't know the last time I saw a go kill yourself comment, to be honest. Like, it's so positive. It's so much more positive over there. It's just, yeah.
Gonna miss it because I do think, I think the good times are over.
I do think the good times. I think the heyday of TikTok as it was. Done. We're done.
You know what I'm curious to...
There's nothing we can do about it.
Yeah. That's futile. Throw up your hands. Go down the hill. Scream at the bottom.
It is what it is.
Yeah.
I mean, this episode was meant to be like the short one, but this is how it goes, listeners. This is how it goes. Yeah. We start out a certain way. We go into something that blows our minds a little bit. Get upset about it. And then we come back up.
Look, we're on a small, like Little Rascal style go-kart.
Mm-hmm.
We've strapped that big rocket onto it like they do at the end of the movie. And we don't know which way it's going to go. But I'll tell you what, we're going to cross the finish line at the end, okay?
Mm-hmm. And we did.
And we did. We got there.
And this felt okay.
Yeah.
And we hope that you'll join us when we start releasing more episodes. Because I'm excited processing stuff.
And the listeners should know, too, we're just kind of reacting to something that happened a couple hours ago. But our next episodes are going to be very fun, topic-focused. I'm doing a lot of research on mine, no spoilers. But yesterday, I spent half the day at a car dealership waiting for some basic service. And I did nothing but work on this. And it is going to be a fun one to talk about. I'm really excited.
Wow. Tell me nothing.
I will tell you nothing.
Because as Renfro said, they're going to be more topic focused, and the person presenting the topic, it'll be one of us, is the only one that knows really about the topic. So we're going to be teaching each other what the topic is. We probably have heard about it, probably texted each other about it, but only one of us has delved into it.
Yeah.
And so that person will be the person introducing it, teaching about it to the best of their ability, because again, dum-dums.
We're dum-dums.
And we'll be reacting to it.
It's going to be great. I'm excited.
It's going to be great. I'm already excited. This was a pretty good little snippet of Dark Chat TM, I think.
Yeah. I think that this may not represent what every episode's going to feel like, but this very much represents what our original Dark Chats felt like in my editing bay back mm-hmm. in the day. They were just a wandering path to existential dread. And I think we got there a little bit.
Yeah, I think
it could have been more existential, but
could have been more existential. Okay, rate it. What's our rating?
Let's see. I'm going to give this a B-.
That's fair.
Yeah.
That's fair. I'm going to go with C.
Ooh, okay, okay.
I'm going to go harsher, with C. Greater. Only because it could have absolutely been more existential.
Yeah, that's true.
We could have gone there. We're really just talking about
TikTok, and there's a lot of bleaker things around that we sheltered from the conversation.
Yeah, we did. We did. Well, we're excited to have you. Hope you're excited to have us. And I think we have a little surprise. You want to tell them what the surprise is?
Yes. So mm-hmm. we've got a fantastic show theme song from my friend James McAnally, a.k.a. Ramshackle Music. Every episode's going to start with this great theme song, but what we have for you right now is the full-length version. You know, like when you watch Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, and then there's the episode where you're like, oh, there's like an extra chorus here, and we learn a little bit more. We learn a little bit more about how he came to be. This is that, all right? This is the full extended theme song, and I'm just going to give you a pro tip. Turn your radio all the way up, because it's a banger.
It's a banger.
It's crazy.
And with that, welcome to the pod. We're excited to be here. And happy Doomsday.
Happy Doomsday. Here comes another existential fix. It's just a soft apocalypse. And I'm so damn sick of politics. But this water sure is rising quick. Now we're running low on food. We're all doomed.